Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa podcast. We got Jason, Aaron, and myself, Rome. Today, we're going to be going, it's Thursday, so NFL lines, college lines, Aaron's college football games of the week, lots of stuff to unpack today, and we'll just briefly talk, though, because it is Thursday night football. It was a pretty fun game. It featured two teams from my Power 8 rankings, which I can't remember who I had ranked, actually. It was number six Commanders against the seventh ranked Eagles. Pretty tight, close game up until the fourth quarter when the Commanders had a chance to go up by 1 point. It was like fourth and two, I think. They could have kicked like a 30 something yard field goal. They decided to go for it. I thought it was a RPO. It was only a run. Daniels got stuffed for a loss. Eagles come around, score a touchdown. You think like, okay, this game's out of reach. Commanders get it back. Interception. Eagles get it back. Saquon Barkley doing what he's been doing all year long and making the Giants GM look like a complete fucking idiot. Scores a touchdown, puts the game out of reach. And that was basically it. The Eagles or the Commanders did a valiant effort coming back, scoring a touchdown, even converting on a 2-point conversion, but a little too little too late. That's game. It felt like a playoff game. It was kind of like gritty. It was tough. But you know, Eagles, man, they were flying. They were flying in the fourth quarter and they pulled it away. And that's what you want to see the better teams do in the NFL. So, thoughts on the game, guys?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Jalen Daniels' total season, this may have been his game that he looked most like a rookie. I think they even mentioned it on the broadcast. Through the interception, got sacked three times. Offense just, besides the opening drive, I guess, just didn't really look great until the fourth quarter. Eagles defense really kept everything in front of them, kept the pressure on Daniels all night. On the flip side of the ball for the Eagles, you mentioned Saquon making the Giants GM look terrible. I really think he's making a lot of the NFL look terrible by not signing this guy. Like, I know the Cowboys have been talking, your Cowboys fans have talked all year about, you know, why Jerry Jones didn't go after Saquon. I know if I'm get to fantasy GM, the Bears in the offseason, you know, this was the running back that I thought the Bears should have gone after, DeAndre Swift, and I'm sure a bunch of other teams. So I think Drew Brees has always been the greatest free agent signing of all time. I think many considered when he signed with the Saints. We keep this up with Saquon over the next couple of years. I mean, this has really transformed the Eagles offense, taking a ton of the pressure off of Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't throw a touchdown pass tonight.
You know, he didn't. No,
pretty much. No. And they're fairly dominant on top of the, you know, NFC East right now with how leaning on Saquon. So it's been an impactful signing. And, you know, if they can continue, and it maybe possibly, you know, Aaron, is this something that the running back is starting to get more value in the league after kind of this half a decade more of how we continue to devaluate running backs? Like, this is a pretty impactful player that's playing dividends that maybe rivals Rome's Detroit Lions for, you know, number one in the power rankings right now on top of the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, Eagles, Lions definitely look like the top two teams in the NFC. You mentioned the running back, Saquon Barkley, great game. You know, you're looking at running backs, Green Bay, Josh Jacobs, Detroit with those two back tandem, you know, Derrick Henry with the Ravens. So running backs definitely are starting to make a comeback. And it seems like they're starting to get rewarded. Now teams are starting to, you know, lock them up early, $8, $10 million a year guaranteed, you know, three quarters of that contract. So if you got a good running game, I mean, Saquon Barkley, how many times has he bailed the Eagles out so far this year? Go back to week three. He basically won that game against New Orleans, got them going. Jacksonville, the same, you know, highlight matrix plays, got that team fired up. But the key for Philly has been really since coming out of that bye has been the defense. Their defense has played really well, limiting teams to basically less than 20 points a game. Shut down Washington. Jason mentioned Jaden Daniels struggled. This is the worst he looks since week one against, you know, Tampa Bay. You know, short on a lot of passes. They didn't let him get outside the pocket. you know, Washington had a chance to go up one. Rome mentioned fourth and two. They don't kick the field goal. You know, 3.5 minutes later, they're down 16 points, just like that. So momentum can change in a game just like that. And Philly was just dying to get Barkley the ball. He got in the open field and sealed the victory for the Eagles.
Yeah, Saquon, 26 carries, 146 yards, two touchdowns. Brian Robertson did pretty decent with Washington with the touchdowns himself. Jaden, touchdown and interception, but otherwise it was pretty close passing-wise compared to Jalen Hurts. But yeah, man, I think it was like the, 840 mark where they could have been up by one, and all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, they're down by a score and a half. So pretty wild. And it was a bad first.
You seem to disagree with me on the comeback of the running back right now. You kind of made a face there as I was saying that.
No, well, because I made a comment. You know, I've been making comments about like defense and the running back position. I just don't think the GMs or the owners going to be there yet. You know, they're still going to devalue them. This might be like they might think of this as like a what's that called? Like outlier, maybe. You know, but we'll see. Could though,
be. I mean,
we'll see.
Saquon and Derrick Henry are definitely outliers because you got to.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, the common perception is once these guys, you know, after that first contract, then, you know, the wear and tear on the body, they're not worth it anymore. But, you know, the evolution of the athlete is kind of there. And do these guys have more, you know, life in the tires? And they are absolutely destroying the league right now. And when you look at what Derrick Henry has done for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and adding a huge extra element to that offense, and with Saquon, as we talked about, like, these are some top teams in the league now because of their additional running game abilities.
Yeah, absolutely right. So NFC Eagles come away. Now they're in first place, sole position, got a little 2-game lead. They've won, I think, five or six in a row since Sirianni shaved his head. Just want to point that out. They've been on a roll. And Commanders, two tough losses. You know, no harm in that. That's part of life in the NFL. Welcome, Jaden Daniels. Still killing it, though. Before we go to the Lions, or let's just go to the Lions and we'll sprinkle in whatever news that happened in the NFL since Monday. You guys down with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Time for some NFL Lions. It is Thursday, so let's get to it, guys. Man, it's kind of nice. No early games. I can kind of sleep in a little bit, maybe make some breakfast, have some coffee with my daughter. First game, Jacksonville Jaguars visiting the Detroit Lions. Lions favored by 13.5. And we have the over-under at 46.5.
You got a side or what?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Rome over here. I mean, usually Rome comes in and gives you a line and then says a side or says, I'm just laying off this one. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm staying away. Rome's like, I'm staying away.
I feel like Rome's going to stay away from this one. Maybe that's why I didn't say anything already.
It's a lot of points. I mean, you said 13.5. No, oh. I'm saying the 14 or 13.5, whatever line you're singing at. Like, as much as you see from the Jags perspective, like last three games, you know, Minnesota, Philly, Green Bay, you know, were all close. Like they're all within three to five points on three playoff teams, basically. So giving Detroit this much love for 13.5, 14 points seems like a lot for me. I would take the Jags plus 13.5 or plus 14, whatever you're seeing at which book you're playing.
This is probably Mac Jones playing again.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is going to be out again. Laporta, questionable for the Lions. I would actually take the Lions. I mean, they played poorly against, you know, Houston offensively, got things going. Jacksonville, the only reason why they really covered because of Sam Darnold giving away three picks in the end zone. 14 points is a lot. I'm just not sure that Jacksonville can score enough to keep pace with them, given Mac Jones and that offense did not look good against Minnesota. I would take the 14, but I wouldn't feel comfortable in it for sure.
I'm kind of leaning towards taking the points and doing the over. This feels like a 32-35-7-10 game, barely hitting the over. That's my lean with it, rock with it. Lean with it. All right. So
there's a reference.
Yeah. AT, you got the Lions?
Yeah, I would take the Lions for sure. Lions are going to win this game, but I would take them minus 13 and a half, 14 points.
You're not?
I would.
You would? Okay. Jason?
Yeah, Lions win the game, but I think Jaguars keep it close enough and take the Jags plus 13 and a half or plus 14, depending on which line you're looking at.
Cool. Next game. Green Bay Packers. Wait. I could have sworn you guys just had like a game, both your teams facing each other recently. But here we have the Packers facing Jason's Chicago Bears. You guys have a new offensive coordinator. There's been lots of buzz around Chicago. I've been loving it. Like all the good stuff that Waldron was running. Caleb maybe not knowing what plays to run. Going left when the play was going right. Having wide receivers open all day, getting sacked, hiding in the pocket like a baby in an earthquake. But Packers only favored by 5.5. It is in Chicago, over under a 40.
I have zero feeling on this game. I don't know what Bears offense is going to show up. I mean, I think the Packers are going to destroy the Bears personally, but yeah, I don't know what offense is going to show up. New offensive coordinator. There's some buzz. I think he gave a good introductory press conference, but you know, since Monday, the Bears have fired Shane Waldron. They've cut a $30 million offensive guard that played like six games. Nate Davis, terrible signing by Poles in that one. There was rumors that veterans were going to coaching staff to bench Caleb Williams. It turns out nobody wanted that. Now it's saying that it's backup quarterback Tyson Bagent's dad who's fueling this stuff to the media that they want. That's why they want the backup quarterback to play, which totally makes sense if you watch Hard Knocks in that guy. So and every player is carving out in support of Caleb, but this is not true that nobody has said this. So yeah, circus in Chicago. I think the Packers probably destroy the Bears. The Bears haven't won. There isn't one Bears player on the roster that's beat the Packers in a Bears uniform. I think it's been 10 consecutive starts the Packers have won versus the Bears. You know, it has been a miserable existence in this rivalry.
Love it. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this game. Bears getting 6 points at home, 5.5. It's a lot of points to give at home. I mean, talent-wise, I think these teams are pretty close. Similar talent evaluation on each side of the ball. Bears got to show me something. I would take the Bears plus the points. Not comfortable in it for sure. Packers likely get the win. But a lot of dysfunction, as Jason just mentioned, over there in Chicago. This is a make-or-break game for their season, definitely. I would lean towards the 6 points in the Bears. Not comfortable in it, but that's the side if you're going to play a side, I think, on this one.
Yeah, I think Pack win the game. That's my lean, but I'm going to stay away from it. I think just because it's divisional games can be pretty ugly, as a lot of Bear games are. But I think the Bears will come out to play this week. I'm feeling optimistic about it. Not sure how many points they're going to score, but we'll see how it goes. Rams visiting the Patriots. Rams are favored by 4.5, over under 43.5. This is an interesting game. I got to say, this is an interesting game. I don't know. Who you guys got?
Yeah, it felt like the Rams had really found something. They went on this 3-game winning streak, but then, you know, this last game versus terribly flat versus Miami. And now you're going to be flying cross country to New England. New England defensively has looked pretty good, although they did play the Bears last weekend, so I don't know how good they truly are. It's a weird game being in New England, plus 4.5 for the Patriots. Feels like the Rams should kind of get this going away. I'll pull the Rome. I'll stay away from this on that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots cover this.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm going back and forth on who I think could cover this game. You guys mentioned the Rams. They look so bad on Monday night. I think McVay and those guys figure it out. Rams are going to cover this one 4.5. They'll get the offense rolling. Patriots don't have enough weapons. They'll fall behind. I think Drake May will start pressing, trying to do too much, get some turnovers. The Rams are an optimistic defense. They can get turnovers if they get you behind. Rams got to get that running game going. Stafford under a lot of pressure on Monday night from the Dolphins. They got to get the run game, get committed to it. I believe they will. And then set up that play action to their dynamic wide receivers. Rams cover 4.5 here.
That's crazy. This kind of feels like a last-minute drive. They're kicking a field goal at the end of the game. Patriots have been playing ugly at home. They got some weird victories. I like May as well. So next game, Browns visiting the New Orleans Saints, who came with a big victory last week. Cleveland, Deshaun, this is his third game without Deshaun. You got Jameis Winston, who showed up, didn't show up. Does he show up this week? Saints only favored by 1.5, over under 44.5. Oh. Man, if there was ever an ugly game to pick. Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know.
Ugly game. I think the Saints obviously looked better last week with their kind of with their upset of the Falcons. I'm going to lean the Browns in this one. They had the bye week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. Jameis under center, making big plays back in New Orleans where he has been the last couple of years. I like the Browns. I guess this is a slight upset of the Saints.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah, I like that lean towards the Browns. I'm going the opposite way. Saints, riding the momentum of the new intern coach. They get to 2-0 at home. Browns, famous Jameis, he'll throw a pick six or something, ice it, Saints late. I like the Saints to win and cover at home.
I'm leaning the Browns, but this is just one of those games, man. You just don't know which way it's going to go. It's pretty ugly. Vikings visiting the Tennessee Titans. Vikings favored by 5.5 on the road, over under 39.5. So not a lot expected out of this game. Go ahead, guys.
I feel like this is an easy Vikings win given the line, although just given last week's game versus the Jaguars and them struggling to, you know, get anything going in the red zone, I think they ended with the 4 field goals. I think they get things back on track this week. I'm still not convinced that, is it -6 you got for the Titans right now, Rome?
I got 5.5.
5.5?
I'm going on FanDuel right now.
Okay. I still take the Vikings. I just think they're going to get something going with Justin Jefferson this week, bounce back from a dismal offensive performance last week and really take advantage of a, you know, subpar Titans team.
Yeah, Titans have been subpar all year, but I like them +6. I actually like them in an upset this weekend to beat the Vikings. Number one defense in the league in Bears last week here at SoFi in LA. I think Will Levis and Ridley got something going. They connected on 2 touchdowns there. Titans will get the run game going. Sam Darnold with the picks. The turnovers continue to worry me. Titans cover. I like the Titans in an upset here at home.
This is a kind of like a must win for the Vikings to kind of stay afloat, assuming the Packers beat the Bears this weekend. Since their game out. Next game, Colts visiting the New York Jets with Aaron Ayahuasca Rodgers. Jets are favored by 3.5, believe it or not. 43.5 over under. And Trent Richardson comes back under center for the Colts.
Anthony Richardson.
The Colts want nothing to do with Trent Richardson coming back. I can tell you that right now.
Did I call Trent Richardson like on the phone a couple weeks ago? That's funny. Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, this just feels like Aaron and I have declared the Jets dead, I think, twice now.
Twice, yeah.
I'm going to take the Jets still on this one. Anthony Richardson coming back in. I'm still not convinced on what he's going to be able to do. I think Rodgers and Davante Adams are going to try to battle this thing to the bitter end. I think this is a win for them, and they cover. I'm looking at -4 right here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts to cover the 4. I think Anthony Richardson's going to have a decent game. I mean, the Jets were probably the worst performance I've seen from a team this year in the NFL on Sunday at Arizona. That was just ugly, bad. That taste in my mouth makes it hard for me to take them. Jets, I think, probably squeak out a close win late, but 4 points is too much to give a bad Jets team. Anthony Richardson, he'll come in. I think he'll spark this team a bit. Pittman will be back at wide receiver. You know you can run on this Jets defense. They're not the same. 4 points is a lot. I'll take the Colts plus four.
Nice. You know, it's a good thing that they brought in Flacco, though, because now you know he's done. So I'm rooting for Richardson, and I think he'll do good.
Well, after this, either Aaron's going to win a lot of money or I'm going to win a lot of money, entertainment purposes only, because we haven't agreed on anything yet.
No. Next game, Raiders visiting the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins got an unlikely win last week. Raiders, they're the Raiders. Dolphins favored by 7, over under 44.5. A lot of these games are pretty interesting, man. These can, I don't know, it's like a Rocky fight. They can go either way. All these games, I think. Let me see, look up and ahead. Yeah, all these games could go either way. This is going to be a tough week for bettors, I think. Who you guys got?
Some big spreads and some bad teams or good teams playing each other. The Dolphins, we expected a lot of them early in the year. Tua going down didn't help, but the offenses kind of looked flat all year. They potentially found something here last week in L.A., maybe. Tyreek suiting up. I think there was some injury concerns on there, but he said he's still playing. It's a lot of points, but I like the Dolphins in this one, -7.
Well, Jason will get his wish because I do agree with this one. I like the Dolphins, too, to cover. They should win this one big. Raiders, they got no quarterback. They got no offensive line. They don't have anything going on offense right now for them. Defensively, Miami has figured some things out, so I think they're going to give the Raiders some trouble there on defense. Tyreek Hill, he'll be good to go. Talking about surgery on his wrist in the offseason. He's going to play through the pain. But, yeah, Miami, I think good for them is that the defense got strong, showed a good performance Monday night. Now they get a bad Raiders team at home. Tua get the victory. I like the Dolphins to cover here and win by double figures.
Send the pain below. I kind of like the Raiders to kind of cover. Kind of debating if I got them as an upset this week. They lost 5 in a row. Even a bad Raiders team, they're fighters, man. And I don't know. Feeling kind of different about this game. I'll have to see what happens on the Reddit boards, but that's my lean right now. Possible upset, but Raiders the points. I think still morning games. Baltimore Ravens at my Pittsburgh Steelers. Definitely one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week. Ravens favored by 3, over under 48.5. Whew, that's going to be fun to watch. What you guys got?
Could be a tight game. Could go either way. I like the Ravens in this one, but I think my hesitation right now has been the inconsistencies of Justin Tucker right now. So in a field goal spread game, man, it's really hard to put them. But we talked about Derrick Henry earlier at the top of the game, about top of the show. I still think he's a difference maker with Lamar. I like the Ravens in this one, -3.
Rome, I think I mentioned it on Monday's show. I have the Steelers as a Super Bowl contender. They take that step even further. They beat the Ravens as a home underdog. I like the Steelers to win. Boswell, late field goal, 55-plus yarder to win it. Steelers in a close one.
I have to look at the series, but I think the Steelers have had pretty good luck winning over there. And Baltimore has had good luck winning on our home turf. This I'm already stressed out just thinking about this game, but I'll be watching it. I think it will be the under, though. I think it's going to be so stressful, high-strung. I don't think they get to 48 points. I'm leaning on the under for the point total. I'm rooting for my Steelers, so, not fair for me on this one. Next game, Seahawks, another tough divisional game at the 49ers. My friends, Will and Bonnie, they're not going to this game. I guess they don't want to see the Seahawks in any shape or form. And it sounds like Bonnie, she's a good 49er fan. Will, it's not like he gave up on the season, more or less. Niners favored by 6.5, which I think that's pretty big, man. That's pretty big. Over, under 48.5, just like the last game.
Yeah, it's a big spread. I like the Niners to win, but I do like the Seahawks to cover in this game. They keep it close, but the Niners still win the game.
Yeah, I agree. Niners win. Seahawks should cover 6.5. That's a lot of points. DK Metcalf is back. I agree. Seahawks cover, 49ers win.
Nice. Atlanta Falcons visiting the Denver Broncos. Broncos slight favorites by 1.5, over under 44.5. It's an afternoon game.
I'm not sure if I've picked a Falcons game right all year. I consistently want to see more out of this team. Feels like a slam dunk with them +2. They need to really bounce back after last week's pretty bad loss to the Saints. They still have to control this division with, you know, the injuries to Tampa Bay is really their only challengers. I like the Falcons +2.
I'm disconnected.
You said you got disconnected?
Mm-hmm.
You back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite. I think Denver's better coach. I think Denver's actually a better team than Atlanta. Too many inconsistencies there. They're on the road. I like the Broncos to win and cover the 2.5.
Okay. Ooh, maybe game of the week number 2. Kansas City Chiefs at the Bills. Bills favored by 2.5 on FanDuel. Over under is 46.5.
We're going to record on Monday, and Rome's finally going to be happy. The Bills are going to defeat the Chiefs, give them their first loss of the year. -2, Buffalo.
I think after when we record on Monday, the Chiefs will be out of Rome's top 5, because I agree. The Bills are going to beat the Chiefs, and the Chiefs will fall out of Rome's top 8.
I'm a big Josh Allen fan, so I'll be rooting for them. This will be what? The ninth time I'll be rooting against the Chiefs this year. So, yeah. If there is a Santa, come on, man. Bring it home early. Cincinnati Bengals visiting the L.A. Superchargers. Favored by 1.5. 47.5 over under. This is interesting.
It's a very interesting game. You have a kind of resurgent Bengals offense versus what, Aaron, you can correct me. The Chargers have the lowest point scored against them this year, I think, with only 118 points. Yeah,
I think they have the number one scoring. I think they're the number one scoring defense in the league, yes.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so we are going to both strengths. Harbaugh really has the Chargers as a super disciplined team, able to control the ball. We've talked about the must wins for the Bengals, I think, every week since week one at this point.
That's every week, yeah.
I'm going to take the Bengals +1.5. It's a big game for them. I like Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, Jason mentioned Chargers, number one scoring defense in the league. If they hold the Bengals to less than 21 points, it'll be the first team in NFL history to do that for 10 straight games to start the season. I'm going to go with the team that's been better and been more consistent, the Chargers. I just don't buy into the Bengals. Every time I think they're going to step up, they've let me down. Chargers haven't. Which is rare, because we've been waiting for them to let us down, but this is a new era. I like the Chargers to win and finish Cincinnati for good.
Yeah. I don't know. Joe Burrow's, Jamar Chase, kind of hard to beat them. Well, I take that back. It's hard to stop them, rather. Not hard to beat them. Hard to stop them. I think they score enough points in this game and stay alive statistically in the AFC wildcard race. Is this the last game? Sunday night?
No. Yeah, it's the last game Sunday night. Monday night's, yeah. Texans-Cowboys.
Monday night, Texas 7.5 favorites over the Dallas Cowboys. With what's left of the Cowboys, I guess, 41.5. Who you guys rocking with? This is the Battle of Texas. I don't know if you guys remember, there was like some YouTube beef early in the year where Micah Parsons was talking shit to C.J. Stroud, saying C.J. Stroud doesn't know what it means to play killers, real dogs, I guess. And Stroud's like, you're sitting with a killer. You're going to find out soon who the real team in Texas is. So a lot of shit talking that's going to come from this. And I think this might be the beginning of the end of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas runs away for the next decade.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but this game's going to be a blowout. I think we can start recording the podcast at halftime. Texans -7.5, easy.
100% agree with that. Texans big.
Texans big?
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that does it, man. That's all the lines. We did them quick. We did them fast. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm feeling amped up, pumped up, jacked up, fucked up. Let's take a quick break when we get back. Aaron's college football games to watch, games of the week, games to keep an eye on. I don't know. It's always fucking changing every single week. But you did put 10.
It's a top 10 games to keep your eye on.
It's a 10 burger, so I'm looking forward to it. Quick break. We'll be back. We are back from a quick break. We did NFL lines in the first portion. By the way, if you guys haven't seen, we do have a two-part NBA special podcast out that came out earlier this week. The first episode is on the Eastern Conference. Second episode is on the Western Conference. Check it out. Some fun little Easter eggs hidden in there. Some really good solid bets. We'll probably do an update, I don't know, maybe the next week or two on the NBA season. Real quick before we go to college football lines, really good game from the Detroit Red Wings last night. You know what? I need to watch more. I need to go to like some hockey games this year. I got to do it. We got to do it, guys. We got to go to a game, knock out some sports lights.
I'm sure the Ducks have some very affordable seats.
Same with San Jose Sharks, by the way.
I'll look it up. We have Aaron's Week 12 college football lines, games that he's betting on. Kick it off, man.
Yeah, man. Finally, is this the first time we've gotten 10 games or less? Usually it's like, you, had, you know.
I think you had 10 one time before.
Okay. I think you're right. Maybe it was 9 or 10 on a short week there, mid-season.
It was 14 games.
I think 22 games was on the list one time, right?
24.
Yeah. It was up there. It was about half the schedule one week. But let's break it down.
That was the beginning of the season. We're super excited about college football. We don't know what's going on. So we just got to watch everything. Now we know who the winners are now.
I agree. I think we're pretty much on that same page there. So let's start with Friday night, UCLA +4 at Washington. Battle of Big Ten, ex-Pac-12 teams. Rome, I know you like UCLA. I like them too, but I like Washington here on Friday night to win. Not sure they're going to cover the 4, but Washington needs that win to become bowl eligible. UCLA still has 2 games following that to get there. I like Washington over your Bruins on Friday, my man.
Interesting.
Then we get to Texas. Rome's been in love with Texas. He loves them, though their biggest win of the year is against Vanderbilt. I mean, that's not saying much for a team that's ranked number 3 in the country right now. They go into Arkansas, 12.5-point favorite. I'm not going to say it because I don't believe it's upset game. I like Texas here. They'll win. Arkansas, I just don't think, has enough pieces on defense to contain the Texas offense. Texas will come out of this one with a win, Rome.
What's going to happen when Texas wins the championship? Like, what's going to be the bet here?
You tell me, man. Because I'm ready to jump on that right now.
Yeah, you let us know.
Man, Jeeva Jason's on that one. No hesitation.
This guy jumps off really quick anyways.
Who? Me?
Yeah, both of you guys.
I haven't told you, man.
We haven't been on Texas all year. We've been telling you they're a fraud.
Agree. They got a game coming up here. I'll let you know when it's time. They got one coming up here. Me and Jason both got it scheduled on the calendar. He knows what game I'm talking about. Kansas. Didn't I say last week Kansas was the best 2-6 team in the country? This week I'm going to tell you the best 3-6 team in the country. Wow. Going into BYU. But BYU is going to win this game. BYU got the scare they needed from Utah. Referees might have given them that game, depending on who you talk to. I like BYU here. The physicality at home. They'll beat Kansas. But Kansas is the best 3-6 team in the country.
By the way, like, there's so many stories that came out after that BYU thing. Like, there's so many competitive advantages put in place. You know, I just thought it was really interesting, but everyone's falling short of like calling it a fix, you know, because that would be too much controversy, right? But I don't know, pretty interesting. So you're calling BYU goes down?
No, I like BYU to win here and cover.
He just wants to let you know that Kansas is the best 3-6 team in the country.
Okay.
Do we hear about any fines for Utah with the athletic director and the head coach and everything on that game?
I'm sure there was a private fine that got done there. We'll reach out to the University of Utah's HR department and see if we can get that information. Because I'd be curious to know.
That was the most overt, we got screwed by the referee press conference I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, if you were an NFL, that's like an NFL owner coming up, not the coach, the owner basically saying that the referees and Roger Goodell screwed us if they were to do something like that, yeah, which would probably be like $1 million fine.
Yeah, and you don't get, I think, athletic directors doing the post-game press rounds, but this guy's like, no, I'm going to go sit in this room and let you know that we got screwed and it's because of the referees.
Well, like the only time an athletic director came out was for Michigan when it was like, Harbaugh does not cheat, all right? He does not cheat.
Scandals are one thing. He literally came out and basically reprimanded the Big 12 as like terrible officiating across the league.
He's not wrong.
Boston College plus 19, SMU, Miami right now in the driver's seat in the ACC. Boston College covers a 19 here. They're not that bad. Be a tough game. SMU gets the victory to stay on track to play for the ACC conference title here in December.
I'm loving it. What kind of car is the ACC for them being in the driver's seat? That's just like a crappy 20-year-old Honda Civic or something for the ACC? What kind of car are they in the driver's seat for?
I think that's what Rome drove. So, yeah, Rome drove that Honda Civic for about 20 years. So, yeah, let's call it that.
You can actually have some really fast fucking Honda Civics, Honda Accords out there. So, you know, define crappy.
I don't know the intricacies of the tiebreakers for the ACC, though. But with SMU undefeated, Clemson only has one loss in the ACC, as does Miami. So what's the tiebreaker?
Highest ranked team, highest playoff ranked teams.
Okay, so Miami right now at number 9 is over the 20th Clemson Tigers.
Correct.
Yeah, Clemson 6-1 in the ACC, Miami 5-1 in the ACC. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, if those three teams finish with one loss, it would be playoff ranking would determine, I believe, who gets the nod between the two teams, the higher playoff ranking. I think it's for every conference championship. Then we got basically the possible elimination game in the SEC with Tennessee, Georgia on Saturday. Georgia already losing two games in the conference. Can't afford to lose a third. They lose here. No way I think they make the playoff. Tennessee is still only the one loss at Arkansas. They're in a must-win two, I believe, possibility here, given what could happen down the road with A&M possibly sneaking back in. Big game here. Georgia, they rebound. I don't believe Georgia's lost a home game in, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, maybe since like 2019, 2018. It's been a while. Right. The only team that's beaten them has been Alabama in the last 52 games until last week when Mississippi did it. So
you guys love some good Georgia dick, don't you guys? You guys have been all this team for a long time. It's like pretty fucking incredible. They got their ass beat last week, and you guys are still all over it, just like Collinsworth, whatever the hell his name is, all over Mahomes. I just can't believe it.
I disagree, Rome. I disagree. How can you say I'm all over Georgia when I said they were going to get upset last week? I told you on this show last week Ole Miss was going to beat them. And now I'm telling you this week Georgia's going to rebound. I'm not on anybody's dick here. I'm just giving you flat winners, and Georgia gets it done this week over Tennessee.
All right, Missouri, South Carolina, what's up with that?
South Carolina, man, nobody wants to play these guys. Nobody wants to play them. Missouri's been real banged up. South Carolina, like I said, I think Monday, I would take them to beat Texas on a neutral site. They would beat Texas on a neutral site. That's how overrated Texas is. Give me South Carolina to win this game against Missouri. Nobody wants to play South Carolina. Go ask Vanderbilt how that one went. Smoked them. Texas got out of there lucky. South Carolina, dangerous team. They'll win big here.
I want to go back to Georgia since Rome was talking so bad about it. So I had to fact check Aaron. So if I have this correctly, the last time the Bulldogs lost a game at Sanford Stadium, you got to go back to 2019 to unrank South Carolina. Wow. Lost.
Wow. Told you, man. So, no one wants to see South Carolina. And that includes Georgia back in 2019.
That's pretty crazy.
Big game in the Big 12, Utah. Talking about teams that get screwed job. Let's see if the Big 12 does them any favors. I don't think they're going to get any favors. Now they go into the Cinderella, the team that everybody loves in the Big 12, Colorado. I like Colorado to win here, stay on a crash course to get to the Big 12 title game. Utah, season's been in the dumps. It's just going to get further down there. Tough loss against BYU. I don't see them coming out motivated. Colorado's got everything to play for. I like Colorado big over Utah. And then non-Power 5 team group, you've got Boise State, San Jose State, Dave. This game's tricky. Boise State, 13.5 point favorite. This can be a high-scoring game. San Jose State's going to keep it close. Boise State pulls out a close win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Boise State in a close one. This one's going to be real close, guys.
San Jose State can score points, man. I've seen a couple of their games.
I like the over in this game.
Yeah. No Utah upset over Colorado. Like, they played pretty good last week. And Colorado has like some pretty close slip-ups. Like, this sounds like this could be like an upset special. This feels like it could be.
Going to call it, Rome. Call it if you like it. Call Utah.
I might be leaning on a Utah upset here at Colorado. Like, Colorado's riding high. All of a sudden, no one's on Deion's jock. They're talking about Travis Hunter winning the Heisman now. Shador Sanders becoming the Dallas Cowboys' next big quarterback. You know, like, everyone's feeling pretty good about themselves. Everyone's wearing all black, gold-trimmed Nike, geared up, bling, 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 tortillas in their pants. Feels right for the Utah missionaries or whatever you call them, the Mormons, to kind of go in Colorado and bang out some Buffalo.
They're the Utes.
There you go. Thanks.
I want to take this back, though, because there hasn't been much I have predicted correctly about this college football season, but Boise State is the one thing Aaron can say I've been saying from the beginning. So I'm still riding with Boise State. It's the one thing I can hold my head on. You guys just said San Jose can score. Well, Rome did, at least. They've scored only 110 points this season. They have the third least amount of points scored in the Mountain West.
That can't be right. They scored like 60 in just like one game already.
Well, yeah, then the other games they did.
San Jose State is undefeated at home. This is a home game for them. They've had some low scoring games. I like the over in this one. San Jose State to cover. This will be a closer game than people think. Closer than the experts think.
I'm looking at the conference games, bro. 110 plays in the conference in the five games. Where Boise State and conference scored 203 points.
We like the over in this one. Closer game than people think. Nebraska, Rome, your other team, Nebraska, one win away from being bowl eligible for the first time since 2015. Has it been that long? 2015, 2017, somewhere in that. It's been a while.
Jason, can you like double check that?
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I think it was Tommy Frazier the quarterback?
Might have been Eric Crouch.
Oh, Eric Crouch.
No, right. I was a big Eric Crouch guy, and like we didn't. If you want to talk about overrated, we didn't belong in that championship game. That was rough.
Yeah, let's not talk about that one.
What was that? 9-3 Nebraska versus the U or something like that.
Yeah, dude, we got our ass beat in that game, and I was like, "What the hell happened?" I knew it.
Nebraska getting 9 points. USC starting a new quarterback here. That's not been mentioned coming out of the bye for them. The transfer from UNLV. Interesting that they're getting 9 points. I like Nebraska to cover 9. I'm not sure if USC wins this game, but Nebraska to cover the 9. Quarterback ain't played all year. Let's see what he's got.
I got Nebraska winning.
The last time Nebraska was bowl eligible was in 2016. They played in the Music City Bowl versus Tennessee.
Ooh, Tennessee. So Nebraska needs one more win to get there. Can they get it at USC? That's a big question. They blew a big chance when they had UCLA come in there. Bruins ruined his Nebraska Cornhuskers hopes right there to become bowl eligible.
I don't want to put a dagger into Rome here too, but as I Googled the last time that Nebraska was bowl eligible, the result behind that was, when was the last time Nebraska football was relevant?
I agree, 2016.
The answer there is 2012 is the last time.
Oh, 2012. Wow.
That's when that was their last conference title game appearance.
Bullshit.
In the Big 12?
When was Ndamukong Suh on the team? Oh, that sounds about right. He's already retired.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's out of there.
That's tracking.
Yeah, that's about right.
I'm sure there was some people after that, though. Like, there was like somebody.
There was probably a Martinez at quarterback.
Yeah, there was.
I remember
Martinez. Seemed like he was there forever.
He said relevant, not disappointing. That's like false hope, man. It's like, all right,
To Nebraska's credit, they have sold out like 400 consecutive games still, no matter how bad there are. Unlike, you know, Florida State, that basically is just giving free seats away to anybody that wants to come in for a free meal and a drink. Nebraska is always selling out the joint. So I'll give them that credit, man. 80,000 strong.
Lincoln is a cool city. I visited a couple times. My crazy ex, baby mama, she has her sister out there who's a big old pot smoking drug addict. She works for the University of Nebraska. Cool city, though. Cool bars, good scene, beautiful stadium. It's fucking gorgeous. I went to Nebraska, as you guys may know, for my grad school stuff.
Was that in person or online?
Mainly online. I was supposed to go in person. Pandemic happened. Divorce happened. Crazy broads happened. Kids, be careful of who you have a kid with. You know, shit can go haywire as soon as the kid's born. We'll do like another podcast about all that stuff, but. Anyway,
all right, last game to watch, Oregon versus Rome's sneaky Wisconsin Badgers. I think you're going to be at the bar for this one, Rome. There's a lot of Wisconsin bars up there in the Bay Area. This might be one you want to be there. Oregon coming to town. Interesting game. I like Oregon to stay unbeaten, stay number one ranked, but let's see if Wisconsin can give them a fight.
Two bars that I frequent in San Francisco, Wisconsin. That's at Aces, is down the block. We talked about them a lot on this podcast. Still haven't been since the bartender almost threw a black dildo in my face when the Dodgers won game 5 of the World Series. Oregon, Rec Room, just up the block. Really cool sports bar. You can shoot some basketball, punch the bag, play darts. I never played darts in my life. Went on a 3-game winning streak. People said like, oh, do you practice this? No, man. I'm just fucking lights out, baby. Had a couple Modelos, a couple shots of tequila. I was killing it, but that's an Oregon bar too. It'd be kind of fun. Unfortunately, I have my daughter this weekend, so I don't know. Maybe we could like peek in the outside.
It's called a babysitter room, and then you just jump from one bar to the other. Whoever's winning, you go there and have good vibes. You can't go wrong.
I'll watch the game with my daughter. I think she'll like some of these games. She'll like the Nebraska one. She's pretty familiar with that one.
Yeah, just poor daughter's got to watch Nebraska football.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about converting her because, you know, obviously I'm like kind of a little got some rough feelings about Nebraska now since it has ties to my ex. But I'm not really prepared to put her on to UCLA. I feel like that's like a lifetime disappointment as well. I don't know. Any other takers?
Wait, she's George, got UCLA.
Georgia.
Watch Friday. Oh, Georgia.
Well, Georgia would be a good team, you know.
You know a team she would might like is Boise State. She might like that blue turf. Boise State's not a bad team to like, man.
You know what? She likes pink. You know what she would like? She would like Caleb Williams on the Chicago Bears.
could be a big comeback week for him, you know?
I think so. I think he's really good. I think, hold on, who do they play again?
The Packers.
The Packers. All right.
We're done with Aaron's top 10 right now, but I want to talk about the college football playoff rankings right now too. I think we talked about it last week, but in the top 12 right now, tons of SEC schools. Aaron, if you had to look at it right now, you got Texas, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, Georgia, all in the top 12, and then you got Texas A&M on the outside looking in. Who do you think's in? Who do you think's out?
Great question. If Georgia loses to Tennessee, they're going to get out. I think this is an elimination game. Georgia beats Tennessee. A&M, they've got that game, like me and Jason mentioned, circled of Texas. If they win that one, they get back into the playoff, and then Tennessee to be the odd team out, I believe, if they do not beat Georgia.
You think Ole Miss is in?
Ole Miss is in if they win out. That's if everybody else wins out.
They've already been saying, like, there's going to be some controversy. Like, there's, like, some people in the media already promoting a three-loss SEC team being in the playoffs, so over some other team, so. Gonna get really interesting down the stretch.
I think you're naive to think that the SEC and Big Ten are the two big money conferences that are there. Both teams should get four teams in, you know, so we're talking 8 of the 12 teams go to those two conferences. The ACC maybe gets one. Boise State with the at-large gets another.
Big
12 gets one, and then maybe there's another one up for grabs. So, like, yeah, it's going to be
dominated. Notre Dame gets in and they win out.
I'm sorry. Notre Dame's in. So, yeah, so Big 12 and ACC, they're looking for one apiece. While, yeah, Big 10 and SEC, they're going to get 4-4. ESPN wants the SEC love. Fox and NBC, you know, they got the Big 10 rights there. You're going to get, you know, probably some controversy in the 11-12 rankings there. I've been saying it all year because it's the first year, but the teams that are in these conference title games will be interesting because are they locks no matter what, depending which conference? This is the Big Ten title game. You're talking Oregon, Ohio State potentially. And if Oregon wins, Ohio State's a two-loss team that's only lost to Oregon. So they're probably in. Indiana potentially in, as Aaron had said last week, if they keep it close versus Ohio State next week, and then Penn State's hanging around in there. So, you know, you're going to have those four Big Ten teams right there if all these things go chalk. But then Indiana's going to get in with just the one loss, not having to play in the Big Ten title game. And the SEC, now you got all these teams that have one and two losses in a really competitive conference. So I can totally see a three-loss team. I don't know who it would be. I guess it'd be Georgia, but Aaron's saying they're out if they lose. Ole Miss should win out. Bama's got the two losses hanging in there. It'll be interesting. I don't know if there's a three-loss scenario right now with how many SEC teams are kicking the tires. But I think that you're definitely going to see 4-4, 1-1, and then Notre Dame and Boise State.
It's looking that way. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the SEC standings right now. You got Tennessee, A&M, and Texas all with one loss. So if Georgia's got two losses. And you got 5 teams of two losses right now in the conference in the SEC. So it's looking that way, like they get four teams. I'm not so certain Notre Dame is going to finish the year without another blemish. I'm still not ready to call that yet. They've got they've got Army coming up. They've got SC coming up. And if Army, I know I love Boise State as much as anybody. If Army runs the table and goes undefeated, I believe frogging them over Boise State. I don't care. I just like the story of that, being in them in the playoff. So we'll see, man. I don't really see much upsets this week, but the upset alert will be coming up on the horizon for sure as we wind down the college football season.
All right. That's a wrap, I guess. Anything else?
That's a wrap, I got. Unless you want to talk this Tyson Jake Paul type thing, that's the only other thing going on, I think, this weekend.
I don't know, man. It's just everything about it just seems wrong. he was too old. He was having like what, like blood clots or like strokes or something. Ate a bad banana. Couldn't fight last time. They pushed it out. Now they're fighting Friday, right before dinner time at all the retirement homes. AARP sponsoring. Slaps Jake Paul today at the weigh-in. Looks staged as fuck. Tyson looks good in the workouts. I did watch a video clip of like both guys working. I'm like, oh, you know, even for 58, however old he is, like that, that's really good. That's pretty solid. But I don't even like Jake Paul either. I think he represents the worst of the worst, whatever that is. And I hope they both lose. But who you guys got? Are you guys gonna watch it? Is there any other fights on this week?
We got UFC 309 on Saturday. Madison Square Garden, John Jones, the greatest MMA fighter of all time in UFC history versus the greatest heavyweight champion of all time in UFC history, Stipe Miocic. And you got Oliveira versus Chandler, too. So big UFC 309 at the Garden in Madison Square, New York. That would be a good event Saturday night once football kind of starts dwindling down.
I feel like UFC is so new. Like every 5 years, it's always like, oh, this is the biggest champion in the world ever. And then like some other guy comes up like, oh, now this is the biggest champion in the world ever in the history
of
UFC.
John Jones is the greatest champion ever. Never lost in the UFC. He does have a loss that was, you know, a DQ loss, which was kind of some BS, but never really officially lost a fight in the UFC. Two-time champ in the light heavyweight, now heavyweight champ.
When's the last time he's fought?
Probably about 2 years.
Okay.
Because I think he tore his meniscus or something in his knee or elbow. Like this fight with Stipe was supposed to happen. Like I think this is the second or third time on the calendar it's been scheduled.
So is this champion versus champion? Like who's the world heavyweight champion out of this?
No, Stipe held the belt for many years or for a while. He got beat by Cormier, and then he got the belt back, and then he got beat by I want to say Francis Ngannou, who then left the UFC. A new interim champ was crowned. Stipe was hurt for a while, then John Jones came and beat him, then he got hurt, and I believe there's an interim champ right now too for the UFC, which is a different guy out of England, Aspinall, I believe his name is. John Jones has been kind of avoiding him and ducking him, saying he's not going to fight him even if he wins this fight, saying he wants to fight the UFC light heavyweight champ, ex-middleweight champ. It'd be like a super fight. This guy's been just mowing down people. So there's some potential good fights coming up at heavyweight if John Jones wants to stay around.
Didn't Cormier just lose a pretty big fight recently, just like 6 months ago?
He's been retired for a while now.
Oh. I think he's got his own podcast and he does stuff on ESPN now.
Yeah, with Shel Sonnen. I think it's Good Guy, Bad Guy podcast.
Who the fuck am I thinking about then? I'm just looking up John Jones. How many times has this guy got busted for PEDs?
There's a lot that goes on with John Jones and PEDs. There's rumors.
Spider.
We only care about PEDs in baseball. No one questions MMA. No one questions basketball, which I'm always says it's rampant in.
He's never tested positive. It's just that he kind of like avoids tests at certain times.
He tests positive for quite a few things already. He got suspended 4 times from USC. Had to vacate a championship a few years ago.
He had a coke problem for a while.
Oh, that as well. Yeah,
he had a coke problem, and then there was rumors.
If you can fight on coke, more power
that
to you.
You saw that the drug testing agency came in to do a test on him randomly, and he hid himself underneath the cage. And then they have to leave at a certain time because they can't stay there past closing hours of the gym. And then once the gym closed, he snuck back out to avoid a test. He just settled a lawsuit against somebody who randomly showed up at his house to do a test that he reportedly cursed out and pulled a Jason Kelce and slapped the phone away from him. So there's been a lot of stuff going on with John Jones for sure.
And I just saw like a little clip where one test, his testosterone was like too low to be a male. And that's when Victor Conte, the former Balco thing, who's now an expert at like catching all these steroid users, says like, yeah, that's super fucking suspicious. You can't be too low as a male and be a fighter. So, yeah. All right. Yeah, this sounds really legit. Yeah, best fight in history. Cool. Yeah, let's do it. Let's watch it Saturday. I'm all in it. I'm all in.
It'll be on here at the household.
I'm more of a boxing guy, but boxing sucks too.
Well, you can watch Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. They're giving you both this weekend.
Are they doing this on Friday to avoid the UFC fight? Friday just seems weird. I've never heard of a Friday afternoon fight.
Dude, yeah, I believe that's the reason.
You could have done. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Well, yeah, cool. UFC Saturday, Jake Paul Friday, Mike Tyson's funeral possibly Sunday.
So who do you got? Jake Paul? You got to take Jake Paul, right?
I guess so, yeah.
So I looked up the over-under. So over the over-under is 5.5 rounds, 2 minutes a round. Tyson did fight an amateur fight in 2020 against Roy Jones Jr. That did go the full 8 rounds. So
that was a bad fight, dude. Yeah. That was bad.
You think this one's going to be better?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see 5.5 rounds is a lot.
Why don't I remember this fight? I don't remember this fight.
It was terrible, man.
I heard it was really bad. I heard it was really bad. I think they fought like in Japan or some shit.
Well, then, and he was washed too. I don't know. I miss the old HBO boxing. You know, you got Max Kellerman,
Harold Letterman.
Yeah.
Lampley? Was it Lampley?
Lampley. Love Lampley.
I did, man. That was a good time to boxing.
The old man just talking shit, like telling boxers how it was. You know, that's the good old days. Why don't you bring boxing back again? You know, that should be a campaign.
Is it Lampley just always talking about prize fighting? It's all about prize fighting.
So it pays the bills.
It does, but the great thing about the prize fighting is whether you win or lose, these guys win the money, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It's always a rematch clause in the contract anyways.
Should be a fun weekend of football. Lots of dog fights this weekend. We'll see how we do on Monday. Maybe an early podcast on Monday?
The game's going to be over, so.
All right, cool. Sounds good. That's a wrap then. Yeah?
I'm good.
All right, peace out, y'all. Sports from the Sofa podcast. Catch us on X, Instagram, YouTube. Late.